Welcome to Finger Guns Comedy. I'm Adam Macias. And if you haven't watched the show before, every week we talk about what's going on in the world, from shoot from the hip on some hot takes, and talk to some really, really cool people. This week, Amelia is going to talk to us about bowling etiquette. And later on in the show, comedian and ex-lawyer Lindsay Glazer joins us to talk about food waste in America and what we can do to fix it. I hope I find her solutions sustained. But first, let's do some headlines. It was Labor Day weekend this weekend, which in any other year would mean backyard barbecues, getting drunk with your friends, and confusing with Veterans Day while flying a flag for no reason. Like, look at those abs. Jeez, wow. Look at those abs. But with a global pandemic and most of our government pleading with the general public not to go out, you would think things would be different. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that boat. Yes, that's right. Over the weekend, Trump supporters gathered around the country in local lakes, or as I like to call them, not oceans, and therefore just a hole in the ground for a boat parade, which, wow, what a great idea. You know, it's a great way to support, you know, your candidate while also maintaining socially distanced safety. And also, it's kind of the whitest thing I could possibly think of, aside from maybe mayonnaise on top of white bread, on top of more mayonnaise, on top of more white bread. But boy, were these supporters hyped. One even made an Instagram account about it, and they promote the parade. And they, of course, took some shots at Biden. And just like that, with a touch of irony, all hell broke loose.
And a parade of boats celebrating their support for President Trump ending in disaster after several vessels sunk in extremely choppy waters. Videos captured a chaotic scene on Texas's Lake Travis. Hundreds of boats flying Trump flags and banners in close proximity in the rough waters, boats creating a lot of those choppy waves. Eyewitnesses reporting several boats being swamped.
Yeah, that's not good. There was apparently so many boats in the water that the waves got too strong and sunk. And it's, and which, by the way, I just want to say, there was some, like, what a flex. Like, that's the thing that they kept saying about this. Like, oh, there were so many boats in the water that we actually sunk. Well, which kind of sounds more like there were so many Trump supporters that we were a danger to ourselves. But of course, in classic Trump supporter fashion, they refused to believe that it was their own fault. Instead, it was, of course, dun, 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 Antifa. That's right. According to this Trump supporter, the ship sank not because of any laws of physics or common sense, but an attack on the Navy wing of Antifa. Now, I have not heard much about the Antifa Navy, but they did actually reach out earlier to tell us a very special message.
I'm Admiral Seafoam, and I'm here to recruit you for the Antifa Navy. Yes, the cat is out of the bag. We have a Navy, and we need you to join. Here in the Antifa Navy, we follow a strict, liberal, progressive protocol. For instance, when boarding a vessel, we only do so when given consent. It is important to respect other vessels' wishes. And besides, we don't want to be weird. Just because a boat has a ladder does not mean one can climb it. Secondly, all of our boats are green, both in color and in use of fossil fuels. Sadly, they don't make electric-powered boats. So currently, most of our fleet is comprised of rowboats, kayaks, and buoys we've commandeered for the cause. Occasionally, we do allow rafts made out of a bunch of sticks held together by twine. But unfortunately, they don't last very long. Lastly, we don't give a fuck who you have sex with. People are gay. Who cares? It's 2020, and no major organization should care what you do in your private time. Then again, it is 2020, and somehow we're still fighting fascists. It is what it is. Join the Antifa Navy, because the regular Navy isn't anti-fascist enough.
All right. Well, that was an interesting little commercial there. But that'll do it for headlines. I'm going to bring and talk to our guests here. She's, like I said, she's an ex-comedian. She's not an ex-comedian. She's a current comedian. She's an ex-lawyer. And we met very recently doing some comedy stuff. And let's go ahead and bring her on. Lindsay, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. How's it going?
I'm good. But I'm going to correct you. I'm not either an ex-lawyer or an ex-comic. I'm both a lawyer and a comic. There's about 10 of us.
Really? Yep. So you currently have your law degree or your bar license is active right now.
Bar license intact. And I testify as an expert witness. And there's about 10 other comedians like me, Drew Morgan, Jackie Fabulous. They may not practice as much, but they're all also lawyers.
Wow. So, are you practicing it only in California? Is that how the bar works?
In Florida, not in California.
In Florida.
Yes, both. But I mostly do expert witness and consulting and stuff that doesn't take a lot of court time at this point.
So what inspired you to, was it comedy first? Was it law first? How did you become to be doing both at the same time?
According to my sisters, I started comedy when I was 10 years old at the dinner table, but I just got paid to do law later. But litigation, I mean, I was a litigator. Litigation, that's how I started, is a very similar skill. There are actually studies out there about laughs per minute from choosing the jury, like actually indicates whether you're going to win a case.
Yes, So I would imagine from what I've seen in like Datelines and stuff like that or true crime stuff, you do need a level of like charisma. You are monologuing for a lot of it and you're doing a little crowd work, you know? You're like winking to the jury sometimes, maybe, I got you, judge. Is that where you kind of found your rhythm or was it more on stage?
No, it was probably picking juries. That's where like I came from, like initially.
Yeah. So, what was the catalyst to get you to start doing stand-up?
I was actually in Ventura, in California, at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club, and they were doing a comedy festival. And for some reason, the guy who owns the club asked me if I wanted to do a set. It was a real show. I had no business being on it at the time. And somehow, miraculously, did a decent job.
Wow. So wait, you had no open mic experience at all?
I mean, I had theater experience from like childhood, for performance experience. I didn't have like comedy experience.
Wow. That is truly, truly impressive. You know, a lot of like stand-up comedians, I've heard stories, it either can go kind of either way. It could be, I went on and I bombed so terribly, or it's I went on and it was the funniest set I've ever had and I've been chasing that dream or chasing that dragon ever since.
It's much better to fail up front so it gets better. It was not good for me because I did so well at the beginning and then it took a long time to catch back up to that.
So did you get paid for that gig, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a festival. No.
No, really? That's something I didn't know.
Not unless you're headlining the festival. If you're just participating in the festival, you pay an admission fee. But I just happened to be there as a guest, and he invited me.
Oh, so you were like hanging out, drinking some beers at the festival, and then somebody was like, you should do a set?
No. Literally, the owner of the club said, do you want to do a set? It was very unusual. It never happens like that.
That is crazy.
Next to Justin Foster, who was on the show, who had been a comedian for a long time at that point. And I looked at him like, I don't know what's happening.
Wow. Well, so I actually do want to know. So now that you are doing both, thank you for correcting me on that, by the way. How do you juggle both? You were doing tours before the shutdown and stuff like that. So how do you find yourself like, I'll imagine being an expert witness, you have to do all this research, but then also at the same time, you know, keep your chops up in the clubs.
I'm lucky. I can take only the cases I want to and work for myself because I've been doing it for such a long time.
Wow. So you just pick it whenever you want a gig.
Or like depending on how much court case and how many documents are involved, what's going on. If a friend of mine owns the firm, a lot of times I end up with cases because a friend of mine has a firm. that gets a lot of cases and they don't do litigation, but one of those cases needs to go to litigation and they need to outsource that. I have a master's in criminology too. So I work with them.
That's really, really cool. We had a mathematician on the show once, and you might be the second smartest person aside from the mathematician, but I mean,
definitely smarter. Trust me.
Well, actually, before we introduce everybody else here, did you hear much about the Trump boat rally over the weekend?
I did hear about the Trump boat rally for sure. I did hear about that. Irony at its best form.
It truly is. It truly was. Yeah. I mean, it's what a perfect metaphor. But thanks again so much for doing the show. We're gonna keep on rocking here. We'll start bringing people back on the show. The first person I'm gonna bring on, we got, you know her, you love her, and she may have caused a fire over the weekend. Amelia Gonzalez.
Hi.
Hey, what's up? Hey there, Amelia. How you doing?
I'm surviving. You know, there's a lot of ash and soot coming down from the sky, so there's that. Yeah.
What? All right, so how close are you to that fire right now?
I don't know the distance in miles of it. I failed geometry, so I couldn't really tell you exactly how far away from it is. But I can tell
you. You failed geometry?
Yeah. It's hard.
You can Google stuff. That's true. But that's not a shape, though. That's a distance. That would be a distance.
I mean, you connect the dots to, like, destination and then back, so
right. I see. Yeah, you know, you gotta find the circumference of it all.
I can say it is about a 15-minute drive from the nearest target, so that distance.
Well, I hope you're safe. You currently have all of your fans rolling in the house right now, correct?
I do. I have two of them right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, if the fire gets too close, you can always just throw that Dyson over at the fire and see if that helps.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll follow back and maybe, you know, follow me. So,
So now I'm going to go ahead and introduce. He's chilling like a villain. He's full decked out. He's almost looks like I would imagine. What is it? Some sort of 90s or 80s singer. Wearing a jacket. His name is Steve Sotelo. How's it going, buddy?
Hello there.
Wow, talking real quiet. And that's because another one of our co-hosts, who I'll introduce here in a second, is kind of sitting in the same room, so they're trying to keep the volume down. Steve, how you doing? What's the vibe?
Vibe is good.
Love the monosyllabic answers. Is that a leather? Is that a, what is that? A jean jacket?
It's a jean jacket.
Okay. At least there was a few syllables on that one. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce his roommate and the person's only, well, I don't know geometry, but I think about 3 feet apart from him. That's Edward Rosales / AKA Edward James. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm cool, man. I mean, listen, I stepped outside today and ash and soot was coming from the ground. Yeah, where else is ash and soot gonna come from, dude? And I mean, listen, I'm sorry. I guess I failed history, so I don't know where ash and soot comes from.
Ooh, sick burns. Amelia, also, taking it.
Whoa, what's this with pulling back the curtain on me and Steve being in the same room?
I
live in the same house with another roommate who doesn't talk to me, but it's fine. You know,
how's that going?
You can hear me from Steve's mic. Everything is good, babe. We're living, we're live.
Okay.
Let's move on. Let's bring out Denzel.
Let's bring out Denzel.
I need my friend out here.
Let's just say he is.
We're not friends.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. I failed economics. I don't know.
Let's go ahead.
At least I failed one subject. But yeah,
I failed the sexual harassment seminar.
Ooh,
that makes a lot of sense.
Keep going.
Lindsay, as a lawyer, do you have any advice for Steve, who seems to be catching himself in a lot of sexual harassment seminars?
Really? Yeah, stop being alone in rooms with women. Don't be a creep.
There you go. He's currently alone with another man, but
Ed, you can also sexually harass men. Don't be alone in a room with anyone.
Yeah. Ed, do you feel safe right now? Let us know.
No,
I feel safe. I'm all right. I know Taekwondo.
There you go.
Knife on him. He's fine.
He does. That's good.
And
he is in the kitchen.
Out, I'm watching Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai season
2 is out right now. Everyone go to YouTube TV or Hulu or Netflix. It's not on Hulu.
It's on Netflix. All right. Well, speaking of wax on, wax off.
Hold on, Adam, before you go in, we had a very important question from Sticky Feathers.
Is Steve Sotelo wearing pants?
I'm not. They're shorts. It's very hot in my apartment currently.
Yes, currently I'm wearing shorts as well. But speaking of hot, this guy's got a dope hot background. His name's Denzel Ward. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm turning it on. Yeah, if y'all can't, I'm just gonna recognize two incredible women, you know, they out here blazing the streets. I also don't really have much to say other than the fact that Steve looks like Cheese from Foster's Home for Imaginary Children.
That's a
imaginary friends. No, it's not. Not when a human being
Jamie
looks like
a photo of Cheese.
Nobody knows what you said. Moving on.
Is this not the Joe Rogan podcast? There's no
not the Joe Rogan podcast.
No,
but you do look like Elon Musk on a drunken bender though. So that is fair.
Very Elon Musk at Burning Man. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. There you go.
Very good.
Well, now that we have kind of the whole crew here together, Lindsay, we're going to talk, we like to kind of do a little update on Becky's and or Karen's. Amelia showed me this video earlier today that we're going to kind of discuss. Amelia, go ahead and set up this video for me.
All right. So, as we approach this new movement, or I guess it's been a continuing movement, and more people are being aware and also learning how to work their phone properly, it's more popular, it's been popular to record a Karen, or as what other people just like to call, you know, non-colored women, being very rude to other people, specifically rude to people of color, people who are not white. So in this video, we have a young Becky who we refer to as a kind of like a younger version of Karen, which is why there is a name change. And she seems a little bit upset over how her bowling experience is not up to par. It's an interesting video. It has actually a very interesting ending too, but I kind of want to play the video first before we go more into the ending of this as well.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to show it right now. Here we go.
Oh, it's my
first
time
bowling. Because you don't know how to wait your turn when you're bowling next to my family.
How do I have to wait a turn? We're on different lanes.
That's the problem. You see, you're not supposed to go when other people are going, because I can be a professional, and you could be screwing me up.
I can see your score. You're definitely not a professional. You finished the game with 40 points.
Well, I took some pictures of you and your family.
That's kind of weird.
Because you don't know bowling
anything. So if we actually pause it right here, Adam, I know we have to describe the video to the listening audience. So what we see here, I'm trying to remember the whole formula because, you know, I failed geometry, so I'm trying to repeat this. We see a Karen or a Becky, excuse me, talking to a person who's recording her. And she seems very upset that she is getting her, like I said earlier, her bowling experience is kind of falling and it's not up to her standards, if you will. I think the claim that they're saying, that she's saying, is that the player that's bowling next to her is actually messing her up. It's been a while since I bowled, but upon my research, I believe you share the bowling balls with the person next to you?
Well, technically, it depends. Let's examine the footage.
There's a couple of things I want to point out too, like her phone. But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. We need that. That's later on in the video for sure. But we can't really see. But as someone who grew up in a small town, I consider myself. I was vice president of the bowling club, so I know a few things about this. But yes, there is a bowling etiquette, and here's a hot take. She's very right. You're not allowed, you're not supposed to bowl while somebody else, even if it's a different lane, by them. That's a hot take for you guys. Okay. I'm on the Becky side. So let's go ahead and keep rolling the video here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Man, right there recording me?
Okay, yeah. So we now see it's a secondary cut of where the woman was talking directly to the film person filming it, is now talking to apparently the manager.
Basically,
yeah.
Assault me.
Yeah, you're a bitch.
Don't you dare follow me to my car.
Okay, a zombie like Becky just. I full on power walking towards our video, towards our videographer.
Yeah, it's there's a lot to unpack here. I think the next point that we really do need to touch bases on is when she says, "Captures on phone." She pulled up her.
Wait, say that again, Amelia. Amelia, say that again. Sorry, you're cutting out a little bit. What'd you say, Amelia?
Sorry. This is a great DJ we have.
Do I sound okay? Is everything?
You sound good. Yeah, you sound good. Yeah, you sound good.
So the next point that I like to point out is that she says that she took pictures of the guy who's recording her, and she holds up her phone, and to everyone's surprise, it looks like a 2005 BlackBerry, or I'm sorry, maybe like a Metro PCS S era. Phone with the rubber click on case. This is where the beans started pouring into. You'll find a very vast amount of internet jokes on how her pictures look like, and they're kind of referred to as like security camera footage pictures, like very blurry, very distorted, like the colors only black and white because they didn't invent color yet on the phone.
They went in deep to like make fun of this person. That's
oh yeah,
what a surprising thing for the internet. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I thought you were asking me because there is a surprising thing about this video.
Oh please. Oh, ooh, I like it. What is it?
The final stunning conclusion of this video particularly and of this girl is that this is a sketch. This is not real.
No.
She is famous on TikTok for making Karen videos. But here is where I'm going to add my two cents about this. I love the platform because it shows awareness. It shows ridiculousness. It shows how ridiculous, how inconvenient, how stupid some people are about particular things. And I get it. Like, a lot of us want a certain experience when we go out. I know, like, restaurants, there's the experience of servitude and having our food served to. Or when you go to an amusement park, it's about having fun with your friends or your family. Like, there's a certain experience to be withheld. But at what cost? Because at any point, you could be made famous on the internet and be made for fool of. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack right there. So, I definitely, and Lindsay's going to return to us in here in a second. But there's a lot. Wow. There's a lot to say about what you just said. First off, wow, how dare you bring some fake news shit to this show? But secondly, go more, please. Let me ask this. Denzel, what are your thoughts about the video?
You know what? I had like a couple of like jokes. Like, I was gonna make fun of her phone and say like, "Hey, that phone definitely has Snake on it." But now that I know it's just like a sketch, I don't know. Kind of takes away the fun of making fun of it.
Well, but the idea is too that I mean, I don't know. Do you think the phone was a prop? Hey, welcome back, Lindsay.
Probably was. I'm sure, which is why it takes away from him, because I'm sure she just like grabbed some old phone that was in her house and went, "Oh, this will work," because it's fine. I mean, it shows the ridiculousness of when we do see these videos and they're real, and it's like, why are you mad about this? Because people really are mad, and I know. Yeah, that is like a bowling thing. Yeah, it's like etiquette. You shouldn't. Yeah, don't bowl when the people next to us are bowling. But it's like,
I'm trying to just fucking bowl. Deal with it. If my ball rolls up next to you, wait your turn.
Yeah. Let me go ahead. I know, Lindsay, you stepped away for a second, but just so you know, the video that we saw, I don't know if you caught it, but it was a sketch. So,
yes, I was there for that part.
Okay, great. So what are your initial thoughts about what we just watched?
About it being a sketch, or about it before we knew it was a sketch?
Well, the before the sketch part, I guess.
Well, the most unbelievable part to me was people were still bowling.
Yeah. Like in the world, you mean?
Yeah, like in the world. But I am also from a small town, and I knew right away that she was actually correct about bowling etiquette, because that was the only thing to do in my small town. She could have She could have approached it a little differently, but it was also weird that she was like, "I have pictures of your family." He's like, "That's creepy." I'm like, "You're the dude who started recording her."
Yeah, we don't know how old this guy is that's recording her. But yes, we can definitely go into that a little bit, because yes, as there's not a lot of things to do in a small town like this, you know, it's almost like, you know, the local dance in the village, you know, like there's just certain things you just don't do with, because these are people that, you know, ideally, I don't think this was shot in the middle of downtown LA or anything like that at LA Live. Shout out to LA Live sponsors. But, I do think it was, you know, ideally, you know, obviously it's a sketch, so, you know, we can't really conjecture too much on it, but they're very right. Like, I have been there before. I have wanted to talk to the person next to me and be like, "Yo, what are you doing?" I'm like, you know, I'm at like my, you know, eighth pin here, and you're distracting me. You know, like when it gets that hot, gets that like high there. So I don't know. Lindsay, do you feel the same way, or am I just talking out of
my mean, head? I would have said something in a nicer way, like in a smaller town. If I was in a bigger town, I'd just be all bitchy. But all
you
had to do
you,
tell him.
Well, do you see yourself, because this is where I relate, I sort of see myself actually going to this level. Well, maybe not to like taking pictures of the family and all that stuff like that, but I do see myself internally getting this upset.
Oh, I wouldn't have been internal about it. I would have said some shit. I just wouldn't have followed him to the parking lot.
Yeah. I do love the cut there. I do. Speaking of cut, I'm going to see what's going on with Steve, because he appears to have full-on melted, almost as if he was a drug commercial from 1999.
Hey, Adam, he looks like the mucus monster from those, like, commercials for people who
from
are
Mucinex,
like...
From the Mucinex?
Yeah.
Adam, I want to thank you for bringing some attention to me, because on Facebook right now, we got ourselves a very spicy and fuego comment that I'm going to go ahead and read aloud right now. It's from Rajveer Vansh.
Oh, look at that. And oh, it looks like his mic ran out. That's so strange what happened there. I'm just kidding. So what actually happened was Rajveer Vansh, he took himself off the stream. We had a spammer. We had a spammer leave a little comment here. Here it is. Congratulations to everyone who benefited from the platform. A bunch of bullshit about investing. I hope Steve comes back. I don't know what happened to his technology there. That seems so weird. But anyways, Amelia, what do we do about this? How do we expose the truth on this bullshit TikTok video?
Is it bullshit? Because we made her famous.
I assume that was her point.
Yeah. That's and true. I think that's what I mean by about the platform that she now has, that we have given to her. And I think that also says something about an audience too, because we are able to give people their rise to fame. And that's really powerful to have. And I wish I wish we knew how to distribute that more effectively. And I'd like to think, as a someone who is in the youth, I'm assuming she's younger than 22, 21, that she has some sort of intellect mindset of how to use this type of comedy effectively.
Right. You mean unlike anybody else who's done the same thing for the past, I don't know, 30 years on any other platform? I'm sure.
well, I want to ask Ed. You've been a little quiet about this. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that we spent too much time talking about this. That's my thoughts on this.
I agree.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was a dumb video. It was a dumb TikTok video. I mean, you want to check out hot TikTok videos? Go to my boy Etiet Oficial, dude, where he just sings beautifully and he just counts numbers.
Oh,
let's just.
Oh, wow. I think that's my guy, dude.
That's my guy, dude. That's my guy for life.
Oh, wow.
But it's what it is. I mean, listen, I took offense because it looked like she had like this Nokia, like a 13100 phone that I used to have or some shit like that. I don't remember the exact model. But when I found out it was fake, it was all like, nah, you fugazi. I'm not going to deal with you. Move on.
Yeah. I mean, well, I do want to talk about the level of Becky real quick. Do we know the differentiation between the two, I guess, between Karen's and Becky's?
Yeah. Karen's like this girl that I went to college with, and then Becky is that name, that slang from that hit song, "Give Me That Becky." Those are the two differentiating
between the two in my head. Denzel's laughing at that
because he knows, because he's not fugazi, and he knows what it's about, dude.
Do you, Lindsay? Do you know the difference between a Becky and a Karen?
I just thought a Karen was like more in their 40s and like more of like a give me your manager or we're the manager, and a Becky was just like their daughter.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like a Becky in training, pretty much.
Switch. I learned something today.
Yeah. Oh,
I honestly didn't know that. Like I said, Becky, the term means something different to me, as Ed pointed out, but I didn't know that. That's an interesting fun fact. I've just been calling them all Karens because that's what the internet called them. So
you know what? I'm on that same page because I was ready to just call her Karen. I just said Becky because I guess it's better to differentiate, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, what's the male version? What's the male version of a Karen? It's Chad now.
Yeah, did they ever decide that? Because I never knew.
I don't think there is, but Kate Harmon does say, don't forget about the Susans, which is Karen's, I believe. Karen's mom, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Susan is the grandma. I heard that Chad was the male version.
Okay, I'll roll with that.
Huh.
Well, I've heard Adam too, but I don't believe it. I've heard Chad more times.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I've heard that both Chad and Adam are like the names for for like male Karens, but I've heard Chad like 100 times more than I've heard the name Adam.
I'm going to be honest with you. Adam probably fits better than Karen. But that's what I would say. I guess there's Ken's. Ken's is also a version.
Ken doesn't particularly, but
Karen is specifically white and Ken is supposed
to be
specifically white.
But I think it might be like in that whole set, the dynamic of even, I'm going to bring up Barbie, like Barbie and Ken. Ken's just kind of there, but in those videos most of the time when a husband is involved, he's just there. He's not really... It's like you're just there. You're just occupying space. You can't really get your wife or girlfriend, whoever it is, to stop being annoying. And everyone's like, "Dude, get your girl." And he's just like, "I don't know what you want me to do."
When she's like this, yeah.
So I don't know.
We're all lost at this, but we're going to go ahead and we have a very special interview going on right now. Literally flying in. Earlier this week, there was reports of a man in a jetpack over LAX. That man contacted us and we're about to sit down for an interview. So I'm going to go ahead and throw all of y'all backstage real quick. Bye, y'all. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring our next guest. His name is First Airman Lloyd Capick.
Hey!
Lloyd, are you there?
Adam, it's First Airman Lloyd Capick coming to you live from the sky.
Lloyd Capick. Ah, Lloyd Capick. Thank you so much.
Lloyd, oh, Lloyd,
you're,
you call me Lord.
You're currently...
I can be a Lord. I'm the Lord of the air now.
Well, your First Airman. Wow. So you are literally flying in the air right now. Jesus. Look at these great receptions. I'm going to be honest. It's quite blue out there. I do want to say that.
Blue sky right there, Adam.
Let me ask you a question. What inspired you to get a jetpack and start flying it over Los Angeles?
Real simple, Adam. You know, I tried for a long time to be able to be, thank you for hiding the clouds. I appreciate that. I've tried for a long time to get a job as a traffic reporter for KTLA, and they kept turning me down. Now I'm doing my own live feed.
Wow. So you're doing your own live feed about traffic reports, and you invested in a jetpack. Wow. That is very inventive.
Jetpack. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Be very careful. You know, I was a really big fan of the Rocketeer in the 90s when I was growing up. So I gotta be honest with you. You're kind of a hero to me right now. So I have so many questions for you. What's it like? What type of fuel do you use? And do you kill any Nazis? That's my question for you.
Okay, well, let me take those questions in the order you asked them. What's it like? It's awesome, Adam. I can see all the traffic patterns up here. There's no traffic pattern that can hide from me now, and there's no one at KTLA telling me, no, you don't belong on the air. You're not responsible enough. Look, sometimes I like to make up traffic jams to help my wife get home from work. Is that so wrong? No. The second question you asked me was, what fuel do I use? And it is propane. And the third question you asked is, do I kill any Nazis? I would if I could, but I've never found one.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack right there. And first off, I admire you so much that I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to treat you with as much respect as possible. Even though you did say that you make up traffic patterns to get your wife to not come home. Is that what you said?
No. I said to get her home faster from work.
Get her home faster enough. So you essentially, because you are almost the lord of traffic as well as this guy, you make up maybe clusters like, hey, it's cool to go here, and therefore your wife knows to take the 10 because it's a little bit quicker.
Well, basically what I do is I fly in the sky. I know what my wife's car looks like. It's a red Honda Civic. There's only one. It's her, and I make sure that that any cars in front of her, if they're listening to me, they'll think, oh, I got to get off the 5 right now because there's a big backup coming up. But there's not. There's no big backup. It's a trick because I'm clearing the road for my wife to get home faster. Because she
gotcha.
She's kind of the breadwinner who's fueling this project. You asked what the fuel is. I said propane, but really it's my wife.
You said propane, but also in a way, it's also your wife's income.
Yeah, it's a lot of my wife's income. I promised her that I would get her as many perks as I could in return. And one of the things she asked me was for a better commute.
Oh, so this was almost like this was like something you sit down with your wife and you like you negotiate. You're like, oh, well, if you take out the trash and you do this, and then also you buy me a jetpack. What does she do for a living to afford a jetpack? I'm just so curious.
Yeah, well, she coordinates all the trash pickup for L.A. So when
mob. She's in the mob. She's in the mob.
That's only in the East Coast. In L.A., there's no mob.
Okay. Well, what about Vegas?
Vegas, there's a mob.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're willing to accept that. Yeah. Your wife's not Italian or anything, right? Like,
she is Italian, but she's definitely not in the mob. Her name is Donna Corleone, but she's for sure not in the mob. Okay.
Well, yeah, there's a very famous movie with Corleone as head of the crime family. But you know what? Wait, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the jetpack. That sounds so fun.
It's so fun, Adam.
Is it scary? Let me ask you a question. I've always, you would think by now it's 2020, jetpacks would be wildly available for most of the, you know, just the everybody. But apparently they're not safe because you might burn off your tush. Are you worried about that at all?
Yeah, well, the first prototype I had did burn off some of my tush. So that was part of that was a problem. You definitely
built these.
Say again?
You built these? You said prototype.
Yeah, built it myself. Yeah, all the prototypes are in my backyard. And I did have to it took a couple iterations before I mastered not burning off my ass.
Wow. Yeah. Well, how did your wife feel about that?
She's glad that I still have an ass. I'll tell you that.
That's great.
We are very much in love.
Oh, I mean, tell me about it. You know, if I burned off my ass, I don't know if my wife would stay with me. You know,
What is it with women and only being interested in men's asses, huh?
I know. Truly. Amelia Gonzalez likes that one. I just want to say. Why the secrecy? Because you said you were reporting traffic, but you're not working for a news agency right now, are you?
No, I'm not. My traffic feed is on Twitch. It's on Twitch. So far, no reputable news source will have me. I do have to keep it secret. I have to not get caught by the authorities, which is why I was hesitant to come on this show. But then I looked at your numbers, and you specifically don't have any cops that view your show, which is great. So I figured it would be okay.
Yeah,
there's no cops.
Wow, that's great. Did you use some sort of algorithm to analyze that?
No, I just did a lot of background research on everyone who watches your show.
Wow. Well, we don't have that many, so good job in the 10 minutes of work that you did.
I'm quick. So I do have to make sure that nobody catches on to the fact that I'm up in the sky, because technically what I'm doing is a huge, serious federal crime that I could get shot out of the sky for.
Truly. And you were almost discovered. You were discovered in a way in the sky over LAX by air traffic controllers. So why all of a sudden are you willing to make your public debut now?
Well, so look, the reason I was by LAX for the first time was because my wife had to do a drop off. She said she had to take it was either a body or a person, I can't remember which, to the airport to fly them out of the country. So I definitely, like, normally I don't have to go to the airport, but that time I did. Why am I willing to become more public now? Well, look, it's hard to make money off Twitch, you know, and I got to get more viewers to the stream. And honestly, it's not even about the money. I know I just said that, but it's not about the money. It's about my wife. I'm not getting her home fast enough, quite frankly, because I'm not cool.
Does she spend a lot of hours, like maybe late, maybe, out drinking wine with her friends, some of that that sweet Spicoli?
I don't know what that means, but no. But the thing is, she told me that the traffic rerouting isn't working well enough. And I thought, oh, it must be because nobody's listening to my feed. So I got to put it out there.
Gotcha. So,
my Twitch is twitch.com/firstairmanLloydKopicki.
Wow. That's pretty simple. First Airman Lloyd Kopicki. Thank you so much for joining the show. And please remember, don't burn off your tush.
You got to be careful about that. You got to angle the burners at not directly downward, because that's where your butt is.
Well, speaking of burners, we're going to talk about food waste. Would you like to join us for the rest of the show there, First Airman Lloyd Kopicki? Okay. Do you have anywhere to go?
Great. I'm in the sky, but I'll figure it out.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to go ahead and return back to the show. Thank you so much. Oh, he's flying around. Be careful, everybody. We are going to bring everybody back here. We got Denzel back there. We got Ed. We got Amelia. And we got Lindsay. What's up, everybody? This is First Airman Lloyd Kopicki. He's joining us from the sky, if you guys weren't paying attention already. Ed, you said you got a hot story for us?
Yeah, but the time has passed.
Ah, dang. Okay. Yeah. Can I get a little snippet of it since I just brought it up? So I don't seem like an idiot on the feed.
Idiot.
No, we cool.
Okay. All right. I'll just be an idiot. It's fine. Thanks, buddy. Lindsay. Oh, go ahead. Wait, no, Ed, you were about to.
We were just talking about Karens, and then I just remembered I went to Panda Express like a while ago, and then some lady was in line, complaining, And then she like started like being rude to the coworker or to the worker, I'm sorry. And then the worker was just like polite. And in my head, I was all like, all right, if this continues, I'm going to say something. And then she just like left right away. And then I apologized for that lady. And then I was like walking to my car with the food. And I remember her like, not yelling, but she was like sternly talking to her husband. She was all like, and why didn't you back me up in there? You were just telling me to calm down and urging me to get out and this and that. And I was all like, hell yeah, my guy.
You're fucking hell yeah.
Right now.
He's so a
that's
king.
What brought up, you know, that's what brought up all the other, the Becky.
Now, wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story, buddy. Lindsay.
Of course, man.
Yes.
Let's talk about food waste in America.
Okay.
You told me earlier, kind of in the pre-interview process, while you were also moving to Vegas. So shout out to the you making a big move there. That
careful. I know. I got to watch out for Lloyd's wife here.
No, she's not the mob, but there's certainly mob in Las Vegas.
That's true. Yeah. And a taxi cartel.
Lindsay, please be careful because of both the mob and the taxi cartel. But so why is it that you, this is something you are passionate about? Let me ask you that.
Well, I mean, I really, really don't think that people being able to eat should be any sort of political issue. And we're a rich country with the biggest food problem, like a huge food problem. And most of it has either been caused by the fact we're overly concerned about looks, like, you know, we need our food to look a certain way, which just has breached new movements like get ugly food delivered to your door. It's mostly a concern about like disease. We're overly concerned about disease and things like that, that I don't mean like right now because of the pandemic, but like in other countries, they don't keep eggs in their fridge. They use them for a much longer time. We don't do that here. They use things past the expiration date here because our society is so litigious. Homeless shelters have been forced into a position where they can only accept non-perishable food, which fucks everyone because now these restaurants and grocery stores, which are throwing away, I mean, the latest here, I don't want to misquote it, but the latest statistic, and this is from the Department of Agriculture, we throw away 80 billion pounds of food. And just to give you the visual reference, that is, according to this, the equivalent of 1,000 Empire State Buildings.
Whoa. Wait, yeah. Can you say that number again?
We throw away in America 80 billion pounds of food, which is visually, if you want to imagine what that looks like, the equivalent of 1,000 Empire State Buildings.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Daily? What, how, like, or year by the year?
Yeah, by the year. But it's still, it's unreal the amount. I mean, just every day at a certain time, in smaller towns, Adam's from a smaller town, so probably knows this. So in a smaller town, you have bakeries and groceries. We're supposed to throw the food away and not give it away. But they start to get, you start to get to know the homeless people or like people who are like lower income around you. And like, if you're in a very small town, they'd say, hey, we're throwing away our bread on Thursday. Come by at 3 p.m. and give it away. Even though there's a lot of laws in place that they're not supposed to do that for litigation and sanitation. Mm-hmm. But in the smaller towns, they ignore them. And in bigger towns, they can't because of licensing and a lot of other. It is true what Adam said. If you're in a smaller town, everyone knows each other. No one's going to say shit about that sort of thing.
Right.
But
in
towns like L.A., Or like when I was in Fort Lauderdale, I remember this specifically. People were going out of their way to feed the homeless in this particular area of Broward in Fort Lauderdale. And they were doing hot dogs and I forget what else they were doing, but it was non-perishable food. The police came, warned them to stop doing it, ticketed this organization. And then it happened again. And then they started arresting people. So people were getting arrested, literally, for feeding the homeless, which is so dumb because there's a whole nother subsection of this where homeless people used to try to get arrested just so they could have a place to sleep and meals. Mm. That was happening.
That's very true.
Years ago.
Let's go ahead.
Places like Illinois, not so much in Fort and LA, but in Illinois where it's below zero a lot.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. I want to know what, well, I mean, I feel like this person knows a lot about it. First Airman Lloyd Kopicki, do you see yourself going out to a lot of, do you see a lot of food lines out in Los Angeles?
Well, first of all, thanks again for hiding the clouds. I do see a lot of, you know, I'm pretty high up there. I'm mostly paying attention to cars. But I do notice, you know, my, like I said, my wife works in waste management. So she does spend a lot of time throwing away, well, not her personally, she's in charge of it, but she's in charge of an organization that throws away a lot of food. And it's like, what are we doing? You know, every time she comes home, it's too late because of the bad traffic. I'm not able to influence traffic. We've talked about this, but we
all right.
Time to talk about her day. And when we do, it's like, well, what can we do to change it? And she says, I don't know. It's not my job to fix policy. And I'm like, well, it could be. She's like, I have a lot of other things to focus on. Okay. But Vegas is on my tail. People up in Atlantic City sometimes call and are frustrated.
Okay. Your wife is definitely in the mob. I'm going to cut to Amelia real quick. Amelia, you reacted kind of strongly to some of those statistics and what Lindsay was saying there. Well, what are your thoughts?
I think everything Lindsay said, it seems completely correct. I completely agree with how we are so focused on looks and how things look, even though we're going to consume them for our health and to, you know, maintain our bodies, you know. So it's an interesting perspective that I'm understanding this in. And it really is something that should be looked at, and one should reflect back and say, because that's what I was doing. Like, do I do that? Do I pick the nicest looking bell pepper for my chicken fajitas? Do I, you know, base myself on how highly my food picking standards are? So that is really,
you know. Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Lloyd. No, well, Lloyd, please.
I noticed that, like, a lot of the pickles that we get, you know, they're like these perfect cucumbers that we just dunk them in vinegar and ruin them anyway. So it's like, why aren't we pickling weird looking cucumbers? Then we'll get some cool looking pickles.
That's a thought.
That's definitely a thought. I do want to talk to Ed about this.
Inflation bills.
Yeah, well, maybe you could talk to your connected wife, maybe putting that in there. But Ed, Ed, you work in the food industry. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about this?
Listen, I think at the end of the day, if you know, if Mary Sue ordered a chicken parmesan and she didn't come for it, and you know, it's just sitting out there, and it's the end of my shift, and if I, you know, I try to take it home so it doesn't go to waste, it doesn't get thrown away, I shouldn't be reprimanded for it, you know. I think if a nice braised beef tortellini is out there and it's been sitting in the window because someone rang in the wrong dish, listen, I think I'm able to package it up and, you know, either consume it myself or give it to someone else. I think I should be able to take a couple of those famous Olive Garden breadsticks along with it, dude.
Oh,
you know what happens
to
them at the end of the day, man? They get thrown in the garbage.
But let me ask you a serious question, though. Like, did you notice that your restaurant that you work for, we don't necessarily name any names, but do you notice that they throw away a lot of stuff when you, I'm assuming you've closed a few times at your restaurant. As someone who has also worked in the food industry, have you noticed a lot of food waste?
Yeah, man. Sorry, I got distracted really quickly.
Me too. I did get distracted real quickly. We had a special guest on Lindsay's feed.
No. Get him back in here. I want to know what he thinks about bowling etiquette.
I want to know what shorts he's wearing. I want to know his shoes. I want to know who he is.
Listen, it's restaurant policy or whatever to, like, throw away anything that's, like, that's either a mistake or that no one picked up. So, I mean, listen, I remember working during the pandemic for Mother's Day, and we were popping, and there were tables of orders that weren't picked up or that were made incorrectly one way or another that were basically there wasting space. And I remember we had to empty out tables and throw that food away, according to our GM. And it was just like, it's a fucking waste, man. It's a fucking waste, and it's a fucking shame. And like ASAP Rocky said, it's a fucking problem, dude.
You know, it's something interesting. Because I used to work in I used to work at the Ontario Airport, and I worked in the food portion of it. In the little as a chef or a cook, I should say. And I used to always ask, like, why can't we just give this here, do this here? And yeah, it was explained to me then. Like, it's the law. They literally can't. And I always like wonder, and I definitely agree with what Lindsay was saying in terms of like how much we care about looks and things like that. But it's also a part of it. I don't mean to like turn this into a capitalism is evil thing, but like the money aspect of it, because when it was explained to me, it was simply explained, you know, because the quality of the food, we don't want to get sued. They can sue us. I'm like, so everyone just cares about the money portion, not that you guys have.
That's true. I mean, there's a whole other issue here. Where servers aren't even supposed to eat the food at the restaurant mm-hmm. that's left over without paying, which is also crap because like they're paying for the food. Like there's no litigation issue there. They work for the company or they get a discounted food and they're not even making a real wage. They're making what, like $3 plus tip? They're not even making minimum wage. So it is true the restaurants can get sued for like, you know, someone finding a finger in their chili is the only thing I can remember right now. And that was from Wendy's like 20 years ago. But
I remember that.
Do you remember that? And then someone placed like a fake finger in like another fast food restaurant. But, oh God, I forgot what to say about the restaurant.
Well, so they give Well, just to jump in too, because I, as someone who has also worked in the industry through, you know, a lot of my life, I worked at a Round Table Pizza, and at one point, like we would just like it was totally dependent on the manager or totally dependent on who kind of ran the shop or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we would try to resell pizzas that were cooked, but then that were like maybe cooked wrong or cooked. You know, like, oh, they canceled the order or whatever. And so, but if we did not resell them, they would just get thrown away. There was a moment where we could, as employees, buy them at a, like an extreme discount, but they got rid of that because
they want profit.
Yeah.
Well, but no, they got rid of that because they didn't trust the employee to actually be doing the job right, because they thought that the employee was messing up the order on purpose in order to get a cheap pizza.
Get discount.
I'll say this though. I'm sorry to cut you off, but like I've been told that before, like when I did work there. But when I look at it, and I've always kind of gotten in trouble at most of the jobs I've had for like looking at management and being like, you're just feeding me bullshit. That's not why you don't like, that's not why you're changing this rule. And again, I don't mean to make it like about capitalism is evil, because it's, I don't want to have that. It's a long conversation, but it's like you want to make money. Like what Lindsay was saying, they changed the rule because you want people, you want this money, you want to make this, you want to make a profit off of this in some way, shape or form. So it's not because, oh, they might be out here doing it just to get free food. Newsflash, that happens regardless. There's nothing that any management can do to stop it, because if ultimately the servers, the hosts, they're all cool. Everyone makes sure that they're cool with the cooks, the chefs, and you always have that guy, even if it's like not all of them, you always have one guy to be like, hey, you want something to eat tonight?
Yeah.
Like that happens. Yeah. And they know that.
It does happen.
Like, so don't lie and say that, because you guys might make it wrong. No, you want to make money off of it.
Lindsay, did you remember what you were going
to say? Yeah, well, there's another problem here, too. Like, restaurants have to put in their inventory, and they can't always accurately measure the demand. That's why you have things like people selling the special of the day from a fish that hasn't sold in 4 days in a restaurant. And they misjudge or they misestimate that demand. And now they have like depending on the size of your restaurant, 100 pounds of leftover, who knows, sole filet.
So, sausages.
Yeah, or sausages or something equally. Like they had some sort of theme and they're expected 100 people. And then a pandemic hit and everything, you know, now you can only have 10 people in the restaurant. There's all sorts of things that happen like that. So that causes a lot of food waste on its own. But it is true. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
I say it's true what Denzel said, that like it's mostly about profit. But people do tend to presume that, oh, well, if the employees get discounts and they'll just do it on purpose, which is stupid, because everyone who's ever worked in a restaurant knows that the way employees get stuff back other than tips is eating free food from the kitchen from their, you know, connection.
Thank you. Like, that's how it goes. Like, even when I worked in at the Hilton in Anaheim, like, you just have that. Technically, sure, it's not supposed to happen. I don't care. I don't work there anymore. So it's like you even what you're saying about the whole you have a special, like some of these places where you have a special, like no one ever wonders why the special is of the day has been a special of the day for the past 2 weeks. It's
because
like, yeah, it's like, that's how it goes. She said, everyone, we don't get free food because someone messed up. That's like the rookie move to the person's first day. Like, ooh, someone messed up, I can get this. Like, oh, you're still relying on messed up orders, huh?
Yeah, it's just like knowing that the valet has drugs or that the line cook does.
Or that most people in the food waste industry are connected to the mob. Well, isn't that right, Lloyd?
Go ahead.
I apologize, Lindsay. What?
No, I was just gonna say I did once get a comic intro that said straight out of Mob Wives, Lindsay Glazer, and that's still the best intro I've ever had.
I'm sorry, but why?
I assume it's the way I looked.
Okay,
that's the coolest intro.
That's kind of tough. I like that.
You don't see it right now, but on stage, I'm in black leather pants, a black tank top, and a leather jacket and high heeled stiletto boots.
I see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's my outfit of choice, dude.
I also don't have pants on right now, just like Steve.
Just like most of us. Right, just most of us here. Well,
I'm in the sky. I'm wearing full jetpack suit. Can you hide
those clouds there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, when I worked in my father-in-law's Italian deli, I did for a time, you know, like I did that for a long time. And when you have the access to the same food over and over again, you get sick of it. So you're not going to try and scam the company every day. Like,
that's another point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to hold on. I just want to circle back. Your father-in-law has an Italian deli?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. What? I mean, they didn't do like late night meetings or anything like that, right?
Well, I was told I was not allowed to be in the restaurant after 7 p.m. And
was it because you're not a part of the families? Is that why you're not a you weren't a part of the families?
Right.
Most important question.
If I married in, I'd never be a full Corleone. So you know that's how it is.
Oh, most no. important question: was there a disco ball at the deli?
There was in the back room. Yeah.
Mm. Gotcha. Yeah, that's a Studio 54 situation.
I assume the reason I wasn't allowed there after 7 was because I told them one of my first days they asked me what kind of music I liked. I said anything but disco. So I figured that's why I wasn't allowed there after 7.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Well, interesting. Well, speaking of disco, this show. Wow, Rad, we are coming so close to the end of the show. I feel like we should have dove more into your disco hates and your disco hot takes there, Lloyd, but we're at the end of the show. And speaking of disco, we got to die, meaning it's going to be it. We're almost done. Lindsay Glazer, is there anything that you would like to plug before we end the show here?
Just my normal shit. The website's www.lindsayglazer.com. Thank you. Same on Twitter. On Facebook, it's Lindsay Glazer Comedy on Instagram and on Facebook.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having
me. Super fun. We can seriously dive into the level of what's going on in the food waste. So thank you for bringing up a very serious topic for us. First Airman Lloyd Kapicki, what would you like to plug?
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to show the clouds on this one. I'm sorry.
Okay. I guess that's all right. I do try to make it look like I'm not in the clouds, but sometimes I fly so high I'm in the clouds. I want to plug, there's this guy I like to follow on Twitter and Instagram. His name's Ezra Parter. Ezra Partier is his Instagram handle and Ezra Parter is his Twitter handle. Guy with Ezra Parter on Instagram is frustrating to him, I imagine. I also love watching this show. I also love watching this show on Thursdays to make me feel like I'm more aware of how to survive in these COVID times, called Apocalypse Tips with Lester Pips. Ezra tweets about that a lot, but you can also follow at Lester Pips on all the things if you wanted.
Of course. Yeah. Please go follow that. And Denzel Ward, what would you like to plug?
Well, you know, per the background, I guess I'll once again plug WAP. You can always also go check out, that's my Instagram right there, search Suavemente. But also if you go on Spotify, Apple Music, any of your DSPs, you can type in the name Jihad, and in that, you will find a song called RWM. Click it, listen to it, love it, stream it over and over. That's it. That's all I got. Yo, that's all awesome. I got.
Awesome. Edward Rosales, Edward James, what would you like to plug?
I want to plug, I got this song on, you can also find it on Apple Music and Spotify as well. It's by Plies. It's called Becky. It's a banger. I want to shout out the Cloverleaf Bowling in Fremont, California. Rest in peace. I want to shout out Babe.
Did you say it was on Bandcamp?
I said it's on Apple Music and Spotify and all that. I didn't say Bandcamp. No.
Oh, okay.
I want to shout out the Cloverleaf Bowling once again. RIP. I want to shout out Dave Babe, the family business dude running. And I want to shout out Selena Gomez. I want to shout out Zendaya.
Why Selena Gomez?
Why not? Why not, well, man?
Yeah.
Wizards of Waverly Place is a fantastic TV show.
Yes, truly.
So much better than Legend of Korra.
Speaking of Legend of Korra, Amelia Gonzalez, what would you like to plug?
I would definitely like to plug my Instagram, Carissa Amelia. I like to post funny things, and sometimes I'm a social justice warrior as well. Yes, that's where you can find me. I'd like to give a shout out to our actual podcast musician friend, Nice Ghost. Didn't he release an album?
He just released an album. Yes, please.
It's great.
It's so
and
good.
My cousins who started the fire in Monrovia love him. Absolutely love him. So go ahead and stream that.
I'm not really sure that's a fan. That's something people should be a fan of. But yes, please go check out Nice Ghost. He released his full album. That if you go back and listen to our January or February episodes, he talked about how he was releasing his album, and he did it in COVID times. Go ahead and check it out. I do want to say, everybody, thanks for joining the Finger Guns podcast. We try to do funny stuff every week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can always go follow us at Go Finger Guns on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we have a Patreon at Facebook or patreon.com/GoFingerGuns. You can also go to our website. It's pretty fucking dope. We got newsletters. We got an episode page for every single episode that we've done where you can watch us. You can go to all of the podcasts there. And please, I do want to say, give us a 5-star review. Guys, I just checked our reviews. It's not doing so well for us being in business for about 3 years. So please, I'm begging you. We get people that automatically just listen to the show. We should at least have 60 reviews by now. So please, go ahead, leave us a 5-star review. It takes 2 seconds. We need, guys, it's only at like 20. It's only at like 20 right now. Please, just give us a 5-star review. Say that again.
I'll see if my wife can send some guys to do some reviews.
Thank you so much. That'd actually be very helpful.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Las Vegas, shout out the Las Vegas Raiders. Shout out to John Gruden out in Henderson, dog. Free my dog, Steve Sotelo, man. Free my dog, Steve Sotelo.
Yes, I don't know what's going on with Steve, but shout out to Steve. You can also follow him at Steve_Sotelo on Instagram. He's got some very funny stuff on there. But thank you again. I do want to say, Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us. I know you are had a busy weekend, and it means so much to us. I do want to say, before we go, as always, Black Lives Matter, and please wear a mask. We'll see you next time on Finger Guns Comedy.
I failed geometry.
Finger Guns Comedy.
This holiday season, you know what I have on my wish list? Adventure. That's why I got a new Honda during the Happy Honda Days sales event. They have a whole lineup of rugged, all-wheel drive SUVs, CR-V, Pilot, Passport. But at the end of the day, I drove off in a new HR-V with a bunch of safety features. And best of all, I got it on clearance. So don't just sit around knitting an ugly holiday sweater. See your local Honda dealer for Happy Honda Days clearance pricing today.
Does anybody want breakfast?
Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.